you again, Priscilla, and thank you, Nigel.
Well, good evening, everyone. Jeepers, that's a bit pathetic. Good evening to you. Now you turn to your neighbour and say, it's nice to see you in the house of the Lord. Just speak to somebody. Say hello to them. Just turn around now and just say, how are you doing? And it's good to see you here. And that's great. Powerful. Now, it's always good to want to thank Priscilla for your beautiful ministry tonight and the beautiful voice that God has given to you. Sometimes you can be very covetous or envious of people, you know. People are given talents that you haven't got, but the thing is, though, the fact is, what talents God has given us, we ought to be using them for the Lord and ultimately for His glory. I want to thank you as a fellowship for this opportunity of being with you tonight. I'm sorry, I've got a bit of a dose on me, the cold, and I hope I don't come across too rough, but we'll see how we get on. But it is lovely to be here. At the very outset tonight, I was in a home just there on Friday evening of a young man whose wife was tragically killed on Thursday, David Cameron. And David's a fine young Christian man, and this has come as a terrible shock to him. And I was telling him that I'd be in Lurgan Baptist, and I was going to encourage the folks to pray for him tomorrow at 2:30, because that's whenever the funeral will take part. And maybe if you know the Lord, if you know the Lord as your Savior, and if you remember them at 2:30 tomorrow, him and then his parents and her parents, that God will really help them, not just tomorrow, but in the days ahead. And it was a very, very, it's an exceptionally sad home, and we just would value your prayers for them. He goes to Belie Baptist, he's heavily involved there, and I know he would value your prayers, and it just can't but not touch your heart. Only married 3 years, and have been sweethearts virtually for 10, and it just can't but just breaks your heart, you know. And but anyway, the Lord, sometimes you don't always understand the ways of God. You know, it's like the tapestry of life. We only see the underside, but God the upper. We sometimes see the black threads, but as the old poet said, the black threads are as needful as the threads of gold and silver. But boy, the black threads are not nice. And just if you can remember them in your prayers, please do so. And the Lord bless you. Well, as really intimated, thank you to Gordon for his very kind words of welcome. Thank you to you as a church for this opportunity of being along tonight and to share about the work of Gospel Mission of South America. I'm going to just very briefly try and... I sort of struggle with time a bit, you know. And I ain't going to let you at 8 o'clock, so don't be getting any fanciful ideas that you're going to be sitting drinking tea at 8:05, for that'll not be happening. But we'll see how we get on. But I'll not leave it too long, for if you leave it too long, old tea gets that tar, like old tar, and you can hardly drink it. But we'll not let her get that late, and we'll see how we get on. But I want to I don't want to just simply rush through things, let alone rush through a wee presentation, but let alone rush through the scriptures. So I want to just share a wee thought from the Word, because the Word is more important even than the work, because the Scripture reminds us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word is a vast place. I don't know if it's possible. Can you put up out the front lights, Ryan? Is that possible? That, beloved, it'll help the folks see a wee bit better. The world is a vast place with different continents and countries and communities. And yet within all these countries, continents and communities, we're told that they reckon there are about 7.3 billion people in the world. You've heard a little of that over this weekend, whether it be this morning from Acre or on other occasions you hear from different mission organizations that are endeavoring to reach into this vast number of people. And if you're part of the Bride of Christ, then you've been called to be part of this reaching out, because Jesus told us as the Bride of Christ that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't matter a man's creed or color. It doesn't matter a man's nationality that causes such divisions within Ulster. The reality is, whether a man is green or orange, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus died for all mankind. And thank God that Jesus died for me. And we believe that the scriptures are very clear when it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And so this is part of the role of the church. This is part of my role, and this is part of your role. And it might not necessarily mean that you're called to some other land, but it's part of your role to be involved in that here in our own, wherever God has called us, wherever God has placed us. The organization I represent is called Gospel Mission of South America, or abbreviated form GMSA. We work in three countries, Chile, Argentina, and Uruguay, with roughly in the southern cone of South America, with a population, they reckon, of about 63 million people. And it's into this area that God has called us as a mission to work. Our work began way back in 1923 under the auspices of a man called a Mr. William Strong, and God asked him to leave us all, leave his home, his business, sell all up and head to Chile to go and reach the military with the gospel. And he did this through the Gideon's Bibles. And then he realized when he was there for a period of time that there was a greater need than just the soldiers. He realized that all men in Chile needed to hear. Men were dying without Christ. And that is the reality today, dear folks. And this is what shakes us up. This is what motivates us as the church. If this doesn't motivate us as the church, there's something desperately wrong in our hearts. Whenever we just simply come to church and we do church and that's it. And when we're not seeing people the way they are and the way Christ sees them, well, undoubtedly for us to be going to reach this 63 million people, we need labourers for the harvest. And that's the reality, whether it be, as I'm going to use the word, locally or globally. We all need labourers for the harvest. And Jesus says, look ye therefore unto the harvest, for fields are really ripe, but the labourers are few. And for us to have we're thankful to God for those whom God has sent, but not just we need labourers to go, but then we need labourers with a heart. And that is, again, locally as well as globally. We need a heart for reaching out. We need a heart for seeing people brought in. And then we need a heart for seeing people built up. Because I'm convinced that this is the heart of God. The heart of God is reaching out to people. He reached out to me long before I even thought of him. We're here this evening, those of us who have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. We're here tonight because God reached out to us. And it was by his Spirit he brought us in. And through the Word, he builds us up. And that is really the core of our mission. You could really say that's what we're about. It's about reaching people. We can't bring people in South America. It's only the Spirit of God can bring people in. But the main core of our ministry also is not just seeing them brought in, but ultimately seeing people built up. And for us to do this, this is our mission body presently who are serving the Lord. I was in Chile this time last year. And this photograph was taken of our mission body. We've only 44 missionaries, so we're not a big missionary organization. But we're a mission that simply trusts God to meet our needs and indeed trusts God to send missionaries that will go at his command and will follow his command and fulfill his purposes for reaching people with the good news of the gospel. Our mission is a very simple purpose. And no matter who you are in life, you need a purpose. If you don't have a purpose, your life is meaningless. It's like a ship without a sail and without a motor. It just simply goes through. You set it in the water and away it goes, and it goes nowhere. It just ends up drifting about the place with no real direction. Well, a church needs a purpose. The local church needs a purpose. But as a mission, we need a purpose. And primarily, the purpose of GMSA is first and foremost, it is to glorify God. And I have said this wherever I go, I find this personally my greatest struggle. Because every morning I wake up, I see three people. And those three people are caused the greatest hindrance in my life through this one role. And that is simply the three people are me, myself, and I. And many of us, if we've been honest, we struggle with these three people. And we battle with them every day because me wants to be seen, myself wants limelight. You know what I mean? It's that old nature that relishes and loves pride and jealousy and envy and strife and covetousness, that old nature that doesn't glorify God at all. But as a mission, this is our main purpose by evangelizing, but ultimately by establishing, reproducing churches. And I'm going to very simply say to you, that is the core of GMSA. First and foremost is church planting, but our glorifying God. But then our purpose in glorifying God, primarily what we want to be doing in South America is planting churches, Bible-based churches. And so all of our ministry is focused toward that way, whether it be children evangelism, whether it be camp ministry, whether it be preaching ministry. Our whole core is just seeing local churches planted where believers can come, where believers can be built up in the most holy faith, and then they can be sent out in Christ's name. We have a very simple strategy. There's nothing wrong with printing t-shirts with texts. There's nothing wrong with giving out a cup of water in Jesus' name, because the scripture says that these things will not go unrewarded. But our main church planting strategy is preaching the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. There's no other message you give to men and women today. And if you're in this service this evening in Lurgan Baptist or online and you don't know Christ, there's no other message that can change your life except the gospel. Because it changes people from the inside out. And it makes all the difference. And that's why we are within the family of God. Charis and I, my wife and I, had the privilege of traveling to Argentina back at the summertime from the 18th of July to the 8th of August. We spent 2 weeks in Argentina with an organization called LIFT, Labor and Faith and Trust, who do an exceptional work when they send out men that maybe don't feel that they're preachers and women, who don't feel that they're people that can stand up the front. But God has blessed them with good hands. And so we're grateful for the team that we went out to do some practical work on our camp center. Argentina has about just over 42 million people in the country of Argentina. And the need is tremendously great, dear folk. Need is tremendously great. It's also stated that Argentina is home to the largest both Muslim and Jewish communities in the whole of South America. Just a little fact there. So the need is great. Need is great. Yet it's a predominantly Roman Catholic country. And yet I'm glad tonight to say that whenever Christ died on the cross, he didn't exclude the Roman Catholics. Thank God he meant them as much to be in heaven as the Protestant people. Irrelevant of their color or creed, Jesus came to die for sinners. These are our present missionaries who are serving on the field in Argentina. And you reckon, well, how is it possible for these folks to reach 42 million people? It is an impossibility. But we thank God for what our missionaries are doing there, whether it be through church planting in Gualeguaychú or in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, whether it be working among the Jews where Stefan and his wife are involved in Buenos Aires as well, or whether it be in camp ministry where James and Dale Morrell are involved in, or whether it be in church planting ministry where Tom and Debbie Gibbons are serving the Lord. We're thankful for those who have received the call of God in their lives and have gone in Christ's name and are endeavouring to do what they can. Now, sometimes the work seems beyond us making any major impact, but we realise that we can only do what we can for God. But it's been willing to do it. It's been willing to be obedient to the call of God in our lives. Tom and Debbie Gibbons are field directors in Argentina, and James and Danelle Morrell are just recently have gone to a camp ministry to be a camp director in a place called Chivilcoy, which is about 3 hours south in Buenos Aires. Caris and I were at our camp center. Sorry, it's not a very clear photograph, but this was the team that went out there back in July 2015. We've got folks who are builders, joiners. We've got folks who are plumbers. We've got a painter, we've got an electrician, we've got three women that were asked, do you want to work in the kitchen? And no, we don't want to work in the kitchen. We didn't come here to work in the kitchen. We came here to work on a building site. And then we've got somebody that's completely handless altogether. And I mean completely handless, but I want to say this to you with a heart for God. And just willing to do anything at all. Set him before a computer, and let me tell you, he's a real whiz kid. But ask him to go and get a hammer and maybe bring you back a saw. But that's not all aside, though. I'm telling you, see this young man here, he goes to Hollywood Baptist. He's not converted very long. But I'm telling you, he has a heart for God and a real desire to follow him and to serve him. And he was a breath of fresh air. He used to listen to sermons at night time when he went to bed, John MacArthur. Next morning we'd get up and he'd ask himself questions. What did he remember of the sermon? What did he learn for his life? And I'm telling you, do you remember whenever your early days of conversion, the whole hymn writer says, where is the blessedness I knew when first I sought the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? What peaceful hours I once enjoyed. How sweet their memories still, but they have left an aching void the word can never fill. Do you remember those early days when there was a real buzz and enthusiasm about our hearts for God and his word? Boys, I can remember that. But boys, I'm telling you, it's easily lost. It's easily lost. Maybe you're here tonight and you've lost it. Maybe you've got lost along the way. And you've got up just going through the rituals and routine. But it's not about freshness with God. Well, we're thankful for the team that was sent out. This is James and Danelle Morrell. God called them back in 2009. And from 2009 to September 2014, they literally tramped the roads of America. Just wherever the opportunities came to share their call upon their life. And what God had called them to do in Argentina as camp director. And along with James and Danelle, along with Hannah and Jamie and Sheldon and Josie and Matthias and little Sophie, little baby, all six of them. When God called them, they had four And then when they got to the field at 6, and I don't know what will happen never in our 6 years, but we'll see how they get on. But I'm telling you, you can only imagine if you're, for those of you who are as a church, you support missionaries. If you know anything about missionary work today, you know that there's this, for missionary work today is so much different maybe than 40, 50 years ago when you just went in faith. Today they have to raise up so much support. But they went to the field not having their full support, but they felt time had come to make the move and to go. And their timing was perfect, but they've had to go and try and live within a very restricted budget. But would you pray for this young family? And maybe you take them upon your heart and remember the Morrell family, that God will bless them and God will help them. This is our camp centre from the entrance. You've got our caretaker's building, and then you've got a sort of a maintenance building inside. This is like our kitchen dining room. But may I say to you, this building is merely only a facility for a bigger purpose. So the main purpose of this camp ministry is really for church planting. And so we're going to use this facility. It's been started way back, and it's been on the go now for nearly 11 years. They've been working on it, trying to develop it, and just as God has provided. And we're going to try and just show you a little bit about this work and hopefully help you to understand. Inside really is the kitchen facility inside this building, kitchen, dining room, meeting room. This will be really where all the meetings as such will take place presently. We thank God our director, Tom Gibbons, has a very simple mentality that if you're going to do a job, do it right the first time, don't waste money. And even if it costs a wee bit more now, get the job done, and that's it, blitzed out of the way, and then move on to our next project. So we're thankful to God for this great facility that we have presently, but there's a vast, long, further distance to go. We built there's a water tower. Whenever we were there was a terrible dose of rain, and I thought Fermanagh got it bad, but I'm telling you, they got it bad out here. But it might be a wee bit noisy with the background sound, but this is the actual building that you're looking inside. This here is like a barbecue area, so it's really a development that's continually being developed. But the main purpose for us going here, there's about 20 acres of ground. If you want to turn that, thank you, my friend. You'll only hear the wind. But the main purpose of us going was really to build this facility, which is going to be a first of four dorms. And for any of you men who are builder contractors, all of the walls are built with is 2.5-inch polystyrene sheets with a mesh on each side. And whenever we were there, we saw apartments 2 and 3 story high, and that's all they're built with, 2.5-inch polystyrene sheets. And that's the modern way of doing a building, and not only in South America, but also very common in North America. It hasn't got to the West yet, but once you get them all tied in together, boys, they're a queer tight job. And then they'll spray them with what's called a stuccoid inside and outside, and then we're going to roof it, and then this will be facilitated with roughly 48 to 50 campers. And so this is one of four. And so we're very, very thankful to God. There's a wee DVD, and there's a church we go to whenever in the States called Plantation Baptist. And they were out there just after we were there in October, and they put this little, it's a wee 6-minute DVD. And now some of them are American, so they're hard to understand. They're not like us boys from Austria, you know, we boys wouldn't be hard to understand. But these were American, so hopefully you can understand it. And it just gives you a bit of a picture of this team that was out. And if you have a wee bit of volume, my friend, we'll see how we get on. And I hope you enjoy it. And I hope it'll help you to understand a wee bit about the thrust of our work and what our camp ministry is all about.
Lord Jesus Christ has commissioned us to make disciples. We're in South America working on camps, specifically in Chivilcoy, Argentina, because we believe a great tool for making disciples is Christ-centered camps.
We feel loved and overwhelmed with the kindness and generosity of people and just their support and wanting to get excited about the ministry here at camp.
To imagine that so many boys, girls, men, women, married couples will benefit from the ministry.
Hello, we are Tom and Debbie Gibbons, and we work with Gospel Mission of South America. The Gospel Mission of South America began in 1923 and exist to glorify God by helping sending churches and their missionaries to establish reproducing churches in South America. Our emphasis is on church planting, and we do this through evangelism, we do discipleship, leadership training, we have Bible institutes, and we also have Bible camps. And here in the city of Chivilcoy, we began a camp project in 2005, and our goal is to use our camp facility, Lord willing, for the first time in April of 2016.
Are excited to see God working here in the lives of youth at camp here in Argentina. Our goal is to have a facility that will be large enough for 300 people for conferences and retreats. And we're in the process of building our cabins. Our first cabin is underway, and then we'll be moving on to three more cabins after that, with a total capacity in those cabins of 200 people. And beyond that, we have a gymnasium planned. We also have a retreat center that will be coming up. And, so there's lots of work yet to be done. We're excited to see how God is going to bring it all together.
Today we're working on the dorms, or the cabin over there. We're working on the electrical stuff and the plumbing, and it's really wet today, but we're still doing it. There's a lot of potential here at this camp for lots of people to come in, and lots of young men, women, and children to come in and hear the gospel. And I think there's a great opportunity for lots of souls to be saved here, so I think it's a good thing.
Argentina, before I got here, you know, you don't know what to expect, and then you just assume that everything is the same as it is in the United States. But what people don't realize, it's not the same as the United States. United States, if you need tools or you need equipment, you can make a phone call, and within an hour, 2 hours, you can have anything you need. Over here in Argentina, that the products and the Home Depots and stuff are not available over here, so you have to go literally, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 miles to go get anything you need. And a lot of tools here are like back when, where we don't have the accessibility of the newfound tools that we have over in America. So a lot of things over here are made and used as tools that you make them and use them. Using a welder over here, it's like in our country we have MIG welders here. It's an old stick welder from back in 1950. It works great, but it's just not the modern tool that we're used to. So when we come over here, you have to adapt to the situation and be able to use, and the work that they get done over here without the, I would call, proper tools is amazing, because, you know, it takes a little longer to do it, but they get the same work accomplished, and it still is beautiful, and it's all for the ministry of God, and it's a camp that's going to be used for families. So coming over to Argentina or over to Haiti or anywhere you want to go, just be prepared to be able to use your mind and think and be able to do things that you don't normally do in the United States. Mission trips are great. I'm having a wonderful time, and I can't wait to do it again.
The most memorable thing thus far is singing familiar hymns and choruses in Spanish.
Meeting all the people from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and the other areas. The people that are here, get the opportunity to serve the Lord somewhere besides home.
And so we thank you for sending down the team to help participate in that and so that we can reach the lost for Jesus Christ.
One focus I want to just concentrate on this evening. But can I just say to you, first of all, if you'd like to know anything more about GMSA, we have a little stall out there. Everything on the table is free. You just take a literature, there's a few pens, and there's a little mailing list. And on that note, if you'd like to know more about our work, and you'd like to sign up, there's two B's that I would say about whenever we go about. We're not about bombarding you with mail. Right? So if you put your name out, we're not going to be sending you out letters every month or every other month. Because many times I'm sort of get, sometimes in your own house, I don't know about your house, but in our house, we get loads of literature through the mail, even from different mission organizations. In fact, there's one organization sends me out two, one to my wife and one to me. Must be in case I don't read it, she reads it, whatever it might be. But anyway, setting that aside though, we're not about bombarding, and neither are we about begging. Because as a mission, we believe that if God's going to provide for this work's to continue, He must provide for it. And He must meet the need. So we trust God. So if you would like to know more, if you'd like a wee prayer card, but I want to just take again this opportunity to just say a big thank you for your prayers, for your support, and this opportunity to share just a little about the work of GMSA and your fellowship. Maybe you've never heard about this work before. Well, and maybe you'll just, we're not trying to take somebody else's place. That's another thing. There's loads of mission exhibitions out there, and there's missions you've heard of over this weekend, and maybe through those you've been touched. And something that God has really laid in your heart, and you feel you ought to pray for that, well, I want to encourage you to do that. But maybe you might have been hit, what you heard tonight, you say, well, I would like to pray for those missionaries in South America. I'd like to pray for the Morels. I'd like to know a little bit more. Well, we don't want to take anybody else's place, but if you'd like to pray for them, do put your name on our mailing list, and may the Lord bless you. Now, that's all I have by my means of report. We're going to read together, and I know my time is marching on, and I'm going to try not to be too much longer, but I want to feel it important that we just share a few thoughts. And if I told you to be finished by 8:15, would you be happy or would you shoot me? Anyway, we'll see how we get on. You aren't looking too impressed with me anyway, that's for sure. Well, you are an unhappy sort of a bunch, I'm telling you. But we'll see how we get on. Anyway. Let's read to you just a few verses from Mark's Gospel in chapter 8. And I had a traditional preachers of 3 points, and I was planning to give you 3, but I'll only give you 2 for the sake of time. And but 2 little thoughts I want to leave with you. One you find in this portion of Scripture, another you find in Romans, but we'll just read together from Mark 8:22. And he cometh to, and Jesus cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spat in his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him what he saw, if he saw out. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored, and he saw every man clearly. And we're going to end our reading there, and we know that God will bless his word to our hearts. The year was 1963. The date was the 28th of August. There's a man called the late Martin Luther King. He stood before a vast, I'm going to use the word congregation of people. And that day he made this speech, and part of his speech was, I have a dream that one day in the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. He said, I have a dream that one day my four little children will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And whatever you might think of the late Martin Luther King, the reality was that Martin Luther King was a visionary. He had a vision for the future. And I want to say to dear folks in Lurgan Baptist, the reality is that whether we come here as a church or go to some other church for that matter, but whether it be for our lives as individuals or collectively as a church, as a congregation, I want to say to you that the reality is where we have no vision for the work of God and no vision to see people reach for the gospel, I want to say to you that we're dying. And without vision and without a vision for the future, there's very little hope of our survival. A man called Chuck Swindoll says, vision is essential for survival. It is spawned by faith, it is sustained by hope, it is sparked by imagination, it is strengthened by enthusiasm. It's greater than a sight, deeper than a dream, broader than an idea. Vision encompasses vast vistas outside the realm of the predictable, the safe and the expected. He said, no wonder we perish without it. And some of us, you know, the reality is, for some of us, we need to take a deep, long reality check, because sadly, if we were being truthfully honest, we have neither vision for the Lord, or vision for the lost, or really any major vision for what God wants for our lives. Because some of us are just so caught up with ourselves and our own interests and our own desires. And although we say we're Christians, and although we say that we've been redeemed, and we can say that there's a date and there's a time and there's a place, and we very much, when we pray, we make much emphasis of the blood of Christ and we make much emphasis of the cross. But really, from our conversion, we could maybe be truthful and say there's really been very little advancement in our lives personally. And it's all because our lives have been so much caught up with ourselves. As a congregation, it's vision for the future concerning children's ministry. Just because you have a good children's ministry today doesn't mean in 5 years' time you'll still have a good children's ministry. It's something that needs to be developed and continue to be developed. The gospel service, you know, we come along and we expect our pastor to preach a hell-raising sermon that stirs the hearts of men and women, but yet what do we do to try and bring the unconverted in to hear the gospel? What do we do to go to the unconverted? And so I'm going to say to you tonight in Lurgan Baptist, and maybe you might not have me back again, but I want to say to you tonight that without vision, how do we expect survival? Now we rejoice, and I know some of you might say in your mind, those of you who are preachers might turn around and say, but hold on a minute, young preacher, you're wrong, because Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. That is very true. But you turn to the book of Revelation and you see churches that were established and today are gone. Those churches that John spoke of when he was in the Isle of Patmos are no longer around. God has put their light out. Because for some of them, they were just all wrapped up in themselves. All wrapped up in themselves. And they forgot that the moment they went out of the church building, they realized that no real concern for those outside. There's a little church in Leicester called, its name has just left me, but in the city of Leicester, Melbourne Hall. And in Melbourne Hall, above the door, just where your clock, is that a clock? What is a clock there? I wonder what that thing was moving. But I thought it was a mouse and legs. But anyway, it must be going very fast. Have you set it 10 minutes fast, have you? I'm telling you, keep your vicar right, don't you, say? I'm telling you, he'd not get away with me. But anyway, just below where your clock would be, they had in Melbourne Hall, they've got this statement. And as the people leave church, this is what's written on the wall. You now enter your mission field. You come to be fed, and you go to reach. But some of us are coming to be fed and we're not going. You know what we're like? We're like the River Jordan. Like the Red Sea. We're getting in. And we're getting in every week. And we're getting in good meat every week. And good food. But we're not giving out. And why is it dead? Because the Red Sea receives, but it doesn't give. And then the problem is it comes in and the water stays there and it becomes stagnant. And everything inside it cannot live. Because it's not given out. Let me give you 2 simple points, and I did tell you 15:15, preachers shouldn't lie, but we'll see how we get on, and I'll try. Let me say, in our portion of scripture we've read together this evening, the first little thought I just want to leave with you is, I believe what we need, as we already intimated, vision without it, there's no survival. I believe what you see here in Mark's Gospel in chapter 8, I believe what you see is a fresh vision of the lost. There's this man who comes to Jesus, and he's blind. And the scripture says that this man receives a touch from Jesus. Scripture spat on his eyes and touched him. And in return, Jesus asked him a simple question. He says, what do you see? And then he says this, he gives this great statement, which all of us most likely know of. And he said, I see men as trees walking. Now, bearing in mind, my dear folks, this man has received a touch from God incarnate. So it's possible to encounter God and still not see clearly. It's possible to be in the family of God and to be redeemed with the precious blood of Christ and yet go out into this community of Lurgan and around this whole area and maybe go into Belfast or go anywhere else for that matter and just see people as trees walking. One preacher says, I can't remember his name just right now, but one preacher said very simply, he said, Albert Barnes was his name, he says, concerning I see men walking, he says, concerning men walking in the streets, he said, I cannot but see them so indistinctly, but for their motion, I couldn't distinguish them from trees. I cannot distinctly see their shapes and features. So he says, bar the fact that trees move in the wind and people move, he says, I can't differentiate between whether they're trees or people. And for some of us, you know, we can't, if for some reason, you know, our eyes have been are still to a certain degree blinded to the fact that although, yes, we've received salvation, we don't see the fact that men and women are lost. And we think of our families. Now, let's just start at our families now. Some of us have come to church tonight and our families at home. Some of us sitting in front of the box. Some have been doing their shopping today. And for some of us, you know, and maybe you mean know, we're maybe are very quick to condemn them and very quick to, you know, shoot them down and yet they're completely lost now. They're completely lost. And we ask ourselves personally, when was the last time and I'm not talking about crocodile tears. I'm not talking about that stuff you turn on whenever you're in the company of the pastor or elders or deacons or in the company of other believers. You turn it off on whenever you, and then you just turn it off as quickly again. I'm talking about the fact that when was the last time as a church, as the bride of Christ, we were genuinely broken for those that were lost in our families. When the last thing, whenever we go to bed at night, we were concerned for their souls. And the first thing we think about in the morning is we're concerned for their soul's salvation. Not just in our families, but then we think of our local community. Think of those that are coming on to church, that God by His Spirit has drawn into this place. Maybe they're sitting in front of you tonight or beside you. Maybe they're behind you and you know they're there. Tell me, when was the last time you wept for them? And then we've been challenged over this weekend concerning global mission. Will it be Brazil? Will it be in Romania? Will it be in South America, in Chile or Argentina, Uruguay? The reality is, folks, when was the last time we were moved concerning global need? You know, the wonderful thing is, the scripture tells us in Mark chapter 8 that although he received a touch from Christ, and we're told that whenever Jesus said to ask the question, when he said to see men as trees walking, the scripture says that Jesus touched his eyes a second time. And maybe tonight, if we're being honest, some of us just need to get alone with God and say, Lord, I need a second touch from you. Because I don't see things the way you do. I don't see people the way you do. I don't see the lost the way you do. Let me just very quickly say to you, not just I believe we need a fresh vision of the lost, but I'm finished whenever I say we need a fresh vision of our lives. Now get this now, you've only got one go at it. You've only one go at it. My grandmother is 94. She's got her mind all right, but she's definitely got her tongue. And she can talk for Ireland. Some people think I inherited her tongue, but you don't inherit things to somebody dies. But anyway, I think I've got it anyway. But she could talk for Ireland. I picked her up for her birthday last year. I took her out for a cup of coffee. She likes her cappuccinos. And so I took her out for a cup of coffee, got her into the motor. And the first thing she said as she drove out of the yard, she says, Nigel, where have these 94 years, or 90, it was then it was 93rd, where have these 93 years gone? Where have they gone? Some of you are 20, some of you are 30, some of you are 40, some of you are 50, some of you are 60. Dare I say it, some of you are 70. Maybe it's possible even somebody in church in 80 or 80. Where is our lives going, folks? James says our lives are but a vapor. Says they're here and then they're gone. You go to a grave and you go to a funeral and you open up the wee sort of service in the front. There'll be the date, the year a man's born. And then you see the year a man has died. And then you get this wee dash and it's only a few millimetres, maybe 5 millimetres long. Maybe an eighth of an inch. Is that wee dash now? That's my life. That's all I have got to serve God in life. That wee dash. And some of you are near the end of the dash and some of you are put halfway at the dash and some of you haven't even reached the halfway stage. But Paul says in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind, that you may prove it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Some of you might, maybe it's at this missionary weekend, and you're going to simply say to God, listen, from this day forward, my life is going to be completely and totally and utterly surrendered to you, because I don't want to simply do, I don't want to do what I want to do anymore. I want your will for my life. And if that means me, Lord, staying locally and serving you locally within the local church, Lord, if that's what you want for me, help me to do it with all my might. Where's the wee man that leads the singing? I think he must be in Duracell. Where's he at anyway? Has he disappeared? Well, there he's down there. I don't think it's your... but it's not that sort of power you've got, sir. A different bit of power. Holy Ghost. But let me say this to you now. You know, there's that wee critter down the back. He gave me a pair of little bad manners outside, and he says, only your small would have hit me. But anyway, I didn't say I'd tell him at all. I'm only joking. But I tell you something, folks. Bit of it, where is our enthusiasm for God? Hey? Where's our enthusiasm to serve Him? Man, you talk about, if you're a farmer, you talk about man's enthusiasm. If you're a dairy man, you talk about cows, you talk about tractors, you talk about beef. If you're a computer man, a computer geek man, you'll know all the language. My new woman knew all about clothes, whether it's whatever them brand, all them flashy brands or handbags and these other things. Man, there's things we get enthusiastic about. When was the last time we got enthusiastic about Christ and the gospel and about reaching men and women with the gospel? Hey. Maybe tonight you'd say, Lord, I don't have much to give you. I don't feel I have many talents, and Lord, I don't feel I have many gifts. But Lord, whatever I have, it's yours. And I don't know how long I've left, but whatever I've got, I want to serve you to the end. A vision of the lost? How do you see them? A vision of your life? What are you doing? The harvest is vast, great, plentiful. Jesus said these words. It's the laborers are few. Lurgan Baptist is likely no different than any other church I have attended, preached in, or gone to. Often it's the majority is doing little and the minority is doing much. I could be corrected in that, and praise God if I am corrected. But there's a role for you in this place, if this is where God has called you. There's a talent that God has given you, and you've got to use it. Like this young lady tonight, in her music ability. And maybe God's putting His hand on something in your life. And maybe you said, but I couldn't go because I'm too old. Paul was in prison, and still he made a difference. When he was bound in chains, he still made a difference. Even in limitations, God can still use us if we're only willing to give our all. I'm sorry. Our time is gone. We're going to pray. We thank Thee, our Father, this evening for this opportunity. of giving thanks to you for your goodness toward us. We're thankful tonight, Lord, for your word that challenges us. And we're blessed tonight to think that, Lord, that your word speaks to us. Lord, whatever you're saying to us tonight, Lord, as a congregation, as individuals, help us, Lord, to be willing to do whatever you say. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.